when Eric asked me about the service today, it was right about the time when all the events happened and Charlie Kirk lost his life. And I felt immediately impressed upon me the thought that we as a congregation should be armor bearers for our pastors. And not in the physical sense where we need to go get a shield and swords and pistols and all that, but in a spiritual sense. We need to be willing to go to battle for our pastors, because if they are going to preach the truth that is in this book and not the truth of the world, they're going to face challenges, and they're going to come more and more. And so just with that thought in mind, I reached out to a couple of the members of the pastor's council here. So this morning, I think we've got some dynamic speakers for you. Brother Ronnie Lewis is going to speak, and Brother Rick McCall. And after that, we're going to do something a little different to close the service. And but with that being said, and without giving away too much about what might be coming your way, let's all welcome Brother Ronnie Lewis this morning.
I will say that I told Brother Don Combs this morning, I'm a talker, but I don't know how much of a speaker I am. And so I'm humbled for this opportunity to speak to my pastors and to this congregation. But before I say any more, I want to ask the Lord to bless my words this morning. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning asking you, Lord, to fill me with your spirit, asking me to use me as your vessel to speak to these men in this congregation. Lord, put the words that you would have me say on my tongue, that I would honor you first and honor them second, Lord. I'm just a broken old vessel that you showed mercy to and patch the holes in me, and I want to be available for your use in your service. So bless me at this time, please, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know. I've got some stuff here that I worked on, and I'd see people, and they'd ask me, was I prepared for today? And I told Brother Bobby Barber that I was available. And so I pray the Lord will use me to speak and honor these men. Jason is a dynamic speaker. He's at ease, and I'm nervous and a little bit skittish. But anyway, here we go in the Lord's strength. I'm going to speak to y'all, and I pray that he will bless it. And for you younger people, I'm a little techie this morning. I've got my phone here just simply from the standpoint of being able to do things quickly. And I have an app on my phone called YouVersion Bible app. And it has a verse of the day. And it has many devotional plans on there that Susie and I use quite often. But I don't believe God does anything by mistake. I think there's a purpose in everything he does. And when I got up this morning, this was the verse of the day, Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And so that sort of tied in with this theme of being an armor bearer. And I thanked him for that, to encourage me and to encourage our pastors. And so, as I begin this, I want to say first thank you to Darlene and Sandy and Ginger. You know, I can be selfish by nature. want what I want. And these ladies have been called to be wives of our pastors, and so they have to share their men with us. And I can't imagine, don't like to think about getting a call in the middle of the night, something tragic or some emergency or something that's interrupts your sleep. And it doesn't affect just our pastors, it affects their spouses. And so I just want to say thank you, ladies, for your dedication to your men and to God by serving alongside of them as their wives. And I've kind of broken this down into three. I want to speak first about Pastor Eric, and then Pastor Keith, and then Pastor Wes. But Eric, I would call him our facilities pastor. And as being a part of our council, I kind of get the inside scoop on what he does for this congregation and for God. And it's an endless thing. When you sit and listen to him talk about this facility, he takes great care in managing it for God's glory. We had, issues with our roof, and so he spent endless hours making sure that the manufacturer honored his warranty on the shingles, and he took a great amount of time to determine what was the best approach to get it fixed correctly. And we come in the morning on Sundays, and we expect the lights to be on and the big screen to be on and the sound to work and all that. But Eric spends endless hours making sure that those things are here for us to enjoy. We take air conditioning and heating for granted. But I hear Eric in these meetings say, well, I talked to this man, and if we could use the old parts of this one air conditioner, we could put it on this one, and we could get a few more months' service out of it, and we could save a little money. And I hear him say, I've talked to this contractor, and if we could buy two at one time, it would help us. And it's just an endless thing, from air conditioning to roofing to everything that we enjoy, the comforts of this facility. And I will say this about him. He is in the vulnerable spot back there in the back because he's easy to reach. And I fear that sometimes we come in with a complaint, and it's not an encouragement to him. He never complains to us. But I would just ask you to be thankful for him and tell him you appreciate him. This is not an easy task to keep this place running like it is and like he does. And so we need to pray for him about that and pray that God would give him strength to continue on. And then I think of Pastor Keith, our administrative pastor, and I sit in these meetings, and he is responsible for the finances, to see that our bills were paid on time, to see that we use the money that God's blessed us with wisely. And he knows to the penny what comes in and what goes out, and I appreciate that. There you see, you read the news all the time about pastors who've fallen from God's grace because of money or whatever temptation might come along. And he's faithful to a fault almost, to make sure that all of this is accounted for, and he's open and forthright with all of it. And so to you, Pastor Keith, thank you for your hard work and your dedication. And also, I want to put in a plug for Sunday nights. He brings the message on Sunday nights generally. And for a while, I got lazy and didn't come to church. And, the Lord kind of spoke to me about that. And the Bible says that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the lions in the world attack the weak. And so when we don't eat, we become weak. And Pastor Keith breaks the bread of life on Sunday nights. Powerful messages from God. And if we'll come and eat, it'll strengthen us. And we can be in the fight with them. And that's what this is all about, armor bearers. And so I encourage you to come on Sunday nights to encourage him, but not only that, but to feed your souls for the kingdom. And then Pastor Wes, I've been here 14 years or so. I think our first time coming back here was we had been to the old church some, and we were kind of searching for a church. And we came here the first service that this was facility was opened, and we've not left. And I thank the Lord for that. But Pastor Wes is a friend, as all of them are. I remember him when he was young, and he was a star quarterback for the high school football team. And I told Jason I wanted to say something funny. He's always up here talking and joking around in his sermons to make a point. And I will say that I admire him because he'll throw himself under the bus quicker than anybody just to make a point. And I appreciate his honesty about that. And it's usually a personal issue. That something that's happened in his own life, and he's not so full of pride that he won't say, you know, that he's just like the rest of us. He's just a man saved by grace, blessed by God. And so I appreciate that. And, you know, I know most of you probably thought to come this morning, it's Pastor Appreciation Day, you might hear Wes speak, and you didn't get Wes, you got me. And there's a lot of differences in us. I'm short and fat. And he's tall and chiseled. Goes to the gym and works out. He's got all the attributes of the star player. But I will say one thing on my behalf that I hope he doesn't suffer from envy too much. But I know when he looks at me, he's envious for my head full of hair that he doesn't have. But from the heart, Pastor, I thank you for being our leader. You know, the Bible says that our shepherd is what he is a person that protects us, and he guides us, and he watches over us. And so when he brings the word to us, he's bringing us instruction from God on how we need to live. And he's bringing us hope in what the Bible says. And I thank you for your endless work in this area. I started for a while. I laid out of men's Bible study on Tuesdays, and I've started back to that, and it's been a blessing. And he spends hours to teach us men what we need to hear and what we need to do to be successful in this life. And so I thank him for that. And with that, I'm going to go into this theme of being a armor bearer. And, you know, I'm pretty simple about things I know or don't know. But you'd say armor bearer, your first thought is, well, that's some guy that walks around with his master's shield. But the Bible tells us that armor bearers were much more than just a shield bearer. They were fighters along with their officers, their masters. And in Samuel 14, chapter 14, 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan was wanting to fight some Philistines, or Philistines, however you want to pronounce it. And he said to his armor bearer, let's go take on these guys. And the armor bearer said to him, well, if it's in your heart, whatever your heart is, that's my heart also. And so I say to all of us, if we're going to be armor bearers, we need to have hearts like our pastors. And we need to be sensitive to what they desire. But the story, I won't say it's a story, I call it an account. Because this is an account of what actually happened many years ago in God's word. But it says that Jonathan told his armor bearer, said, it doesn't matter whether it be few of us or many of us. If we go in God's strength, he'll give us the victory. And so he told his armor bearer, we're going to do this or that, and whichever way God answers it, we'll know what to do. And God answered him to say that I'm going to give you the victory. And so he and his armor bearer climbed up this hill and attacked the Philistines. And the Bible says that they killed 20 in about a space of about a half an acre, which is probably about the size of this auditorium. So it was pretty close fighting. But it says they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer came behind him and killed him. And so he went in God's power, the same as these men here do, the same as these men. They come in God's power, and they are seeking God's will, and they are not going out on their own strength. None of us can be successful if we try that. And so that's one example of an armor bearer. And then I think of David. We don't often think of David as an armor bearer, but he was Saul's armor bearer. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God left Saul when he became disobedient. And God put within him a spirit of discontentment, I guess, for lack of a better word. That's not exactly what the Bible says. I've got my papers messed up here. But a distressing spirit. And it said that Saul would get distressed, and so he looked for someone to play a harp to soothe him. And David was his harp player. And when he would play, it would soothe Saul, and this distressing spirit would leave him. And so I put something we've always heard before, or most of us have. When we hear something good, we say that's music to our ears. And so I'd say let's be examples to our pastors and let's obey them and follow their lead so they can be, we can be music to their ears. And we don't cause distress in their hearts, because I know when they see us being disobedient and wandering off, they're our shepherd. That just puts more of a load on them than they need. And so I'd say to us, let's be careful how we navigate this life. Let's be sure that we're in God's will when we do what we do. And then this one is not, this third example is not necessarily armor bearers, but it's David after he became king in 2 Samuel 23, chapter 23. And he picked out 30 mighty men to head up his army. And three of those men, And I won't even try to pronounce their names, so I'm going to leave that alone. But he was in a cave with these men, and he just said, I guess offhand, he said, "I long for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem." And it just so happened that the Philistine garrison, as the Bible says, or camp, was around this well in Bethlehem. But these three mighty men heard what their king said. And they snuck out in the middle of the night, and they broke through this camp and brought King David water from that well. And it so touched him that he wouldn't drink it. He said, "These men have risked their lives to bring me this water, and I'll pour it out unto the Lord." And so I say that, my point to be, that let's be in tune to what these men say to us. And when they ask for a drink of water, let us have a drink of water for them. Let us love them and support them. And I see my wife's giving me a... Logan, if you put up that image, something that Susie did for us at our house, and I appreciate my wife too. She's a blessing to me. Is she put up an image like that on our refrigerator when we get coffee in the mornings. It reminds us to put on the full armor of God. You know, we expect these men to get up in the mornings, arm themselves to do battle. Well, if we're going to be armor bearers, we need to have that same armor on to be successful. And so I'm going to quickly read through these. And this is the order they are in the scripture. And the first one is in Ephesians 6:14, is the belt of truth. The first one on the list, and it keeps us from giving into the world's beliefs. Compare your beliefs and actions to the truth of the Word of God. And two is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is being honest, good, humble, and fair to others. It means standing up for the weaker people. Right living is what righteousness means. Three is the gospel of peace. And the gospel of peace is to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. And I'll share this quick testimony. I shared it with Pastor and some men. I've been trying to speak life to people where when we go places. And I've befriended a cashier in the Walmart in Ocala. And I'd say things like, have a blessed day, or remember Jesus loves you, something like that when we would check out. And I try to always get in his line. But Brian had just, I'd requested that song, I can't remember the name of it, but I have a friend. Jesus is my friend. And so I said to him this day, his name is Jay. I said, Jay, you know, I have a friend. His name is Jesus, and he died for me, and he died for you. And this man's probably mid-50s, and he said to me, you're the first person that's ever talked to me about God. And it struck me. It convicted me. And so I would say when we go, we have the gospel of peace. We know the good news. We need to be about sharing that. And I'm no big soul winner. I've tried to make myself available to say what God wants me to say for his glory. Number four is the shield of faith. Enemy will fire the darts and arrows at us every day, and we need to have that shield. Faith is being sure that God will keep us, keep his promises. Faith is God protects us. Five is the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation by believing that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And six is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's an offensive weapon to us. We can cut asunder the lions that attack us, that come to seek and destroy, kill and destroy us. And we tell others about it. And so we use this. And I would say to you, you know, in closing, the state of Florida has the Supreme Court upheld a law that we can have open carry. You can put a gun on your side and go off down the street, and they can't do anything about it. And I would tell you this, we have open carry on our phones. You can find a Bible app, and you can put it in your pocket, or you can carry it in your hand. But the sword of the Lord, the weapon, the spiritual weapon that God gave us, we can take with us. And if we need to use it, it's right there at our beck and call. So anyway, with that, let's be armor bearers for our pastors. Let's pray for them. I know Wes is a man who wants to have a praying church. He wants to have a church that worships. He wants to have a church that is mission-minded. And he wants to have a church that's obedient to his leading, because I believe he's led by the Spirit of the Holy God. Pastor Keith is the same way. And so let's encourage them. Let's show our appreciation by how we respond to their teaching. And they're leading. That's the best way we can do it. It's easy for us to say, I appreciate you. You know, I had a friend one time that said, somebody asked you to pray, he would stop right there and pray for him. He said, if I don't do it right then, I forget it. And so that's probably a good habit. But let's show love and appreciation for our pastors by putting on this armor and fighting right alongside of them. And I may be a little bit out of sorts here, but I do want to mention two other men, Pastor Chester Clark and Beverly. He is a retired pastor, now missionary, but he speaks in this church some, and he always has a good word. And then Melvin Lane and his wife, Dolores, he's a chaplain at the VA. They're in this fight just like our pastors. So we could be armor bearers for them also. But I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that what I've said has been a blessing to you and honored God. Pastors and your wives, I thank you. I love you. And I'm going to be in this fight with you. Lord gives me the strength to. Thank you.
I'm going to get a little bit literal here in a few minutes. I think demonstration is the best thing. And I'm going to speak to you from the heart. I'm not a speaker. I'm just a guy. And that's my theme today. Just a guy. You're just a woman. You're just a teen. We're just ordinary people, right? But we're ordinary people called to do extraordinary things. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So first, I'd like, Ronnie did a good job of recognizing, almost said verbatim what I was going to say about our pastor team. So I'll not do that, but I would like to recognize our pastors and their wives. You know, this is just beautiful, just sitting here. Y'all ought to be able to see this. It's beautiful to see this families sitting together, honoring that. And you know something about each of these guys? I was thinking, you know, Wes is like me. He loves sports. You heard he was a star quarterback. But I was sitting over there thinking before Ronnie got up there, who would I compare Wes to in sports vernacular? Steve Spurrier. He's a big Gator. He's Steve Spurrier. He's dynamic, and he's reluctant, but he's dynamic. And who would I refer to Keith as, using the sports genre? Bill Carr. You know who Bill Carr was? He was the All-American center who snapped the ball to Steve Spurrier and became athletic director at the University of Florida. And then Eric. I said, now, would I pick for Eric? Man, okay, let's just start. Larry Smith, running back. Charlie Casey, wide receiver. Carlos Alvarez, touchdown Tommy Durns. John Reeves, Percy Harvin. In other words, what I'm saying here, Eric is Mr. Do-It-All. You give him the ball and go. But what makes them guys tick is the women that stand beside them. You know, I get to stand in the back of the church a lot of times. Gaz and I, we'll watch what's going on. And we see people worshiping. And, man, it's really exciting to see how you people worship and just be real. And Darlene will generally be over there, and I'll see her. She's worshiping, she's singing, she's praising the Lord. Sandy's down there. She's over there praising. And her and Keith are like teenagers, you know. They're always holding hands. I kind of get jealous of that a little bit because I'm just not that kind of a guy. I think Belinda would appreciate a little bit more of that. And for me, and then you got Ginger. Well, we all know Ginger, and she's vivacious, and she's gonna give us a nugget every Sunday. Them Ginger nuggets—they're great, aren't they? And but they're the people that's standing behind these men. They're children. They've got great children. Brandon, I gotta do it to you, buddy. I love Brandon. He's a Seminole. I'm a Gator, and we like to have a good-natured thing, but that's the nature, just great guys. But when I hear those stories about Wes, Wes tells he throws himself under the bus, and a lot of people will just hop or run over him with the bus. but, you know, what it does, I've learned their families. When these guys get up there and they share these things, you learn who they are. What they are, where they're coming from, and what I found out, man, they got the same problems I do. They have the same issues I do. Wes has said times about being impatient. Lord, Belinda could tell you about that. Yesterday, I was kind of in the flesh a little bit, and I wasn't wanting to do something that really made sense to, you know, if I'm honest. What she was telling me to do really made more sense than what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do it my way. And So I spouted off. And the moments of silence, you had that 4 hours of silence from Atlanta. So sometimes you put your mouth in action before your brain. Well, I did that. And Belinda said something, though, that really, it made me mad, but it was so true. What would you think the people in the church would think of you if they saw you like this? You know, I normally wouldn't have shared that kind of thing. But I said, you know what? If Wes can do it, I can too. So I say all that because what it really struck me about this is these are common guys from a little old place in Williston. And they're ordinary men called to do extraordinary things to lead ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen? Yeah. So that said, it's Pastor Appreciation Day. How do you best show your appreciation to your pastors? You get out and you do the things they're telling, sharing with you that God has given to do. Your success is their success. The souls you win are the souls they win. Amen? So you got to be out there. You got to be an armor bearer. Now, I've got on a tool belt. You saw the... Can y'all put that back up there, the armor? Just leave it up there, if you don't mind. But you heard Ronnie explain it. So I wanted to get literal. This is things we do every single day and how you do that. First of all, you got to understand... we're in a different time now. We've entered into a different time. Brother Chester asked the question on a Wednesday night, what are we going to do with Charlie? Charlie's just Charlie Kirk, that's an example. But think about what it's caused and the things that it makes you think. Wes said not too long ago, he was preaching. He said, you know, one day I might have to go to jail because I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to stand up there. I sit right there where Wes is sitting today. Well, you're in a good spot, brother. But I sit there. I chose that spot, and I like to sit there because I am the last defense. Somebody try to get to him, they're going to have to come through me. I sit there with that in mind. So I knew that was going to be there today. So what did I do? I moved over there, and I sat in Brother Keith's spot. Before I got, just quickly, this is how God works. I'm over there. I'm strapping myself on. And Renell and Brian, they're there. They help me get it on. But they take a moment, take my hand, and pray over me for what I'm going to say. Just before I come up, Belinda grabbed my hand and said a prayer. That's God moving. That's God moving. So, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but these times do trouble me. And I ask myself, can I measure up? Am I worthy enough? Then I realize, why am I asking myself anything? Ask God. So I did. And I do. So let me share what some of the things he shared with me. And I'm going to try to move through this quickly. But in the past few series, the summer series we studied in Sunday school, Job and Paul. Right now, we concluded last week a study on focused on Joshua, and today we moved into the Judges. And so I'm going through this, listening to the lessons. I've had to teach a time or two during that time. But I'm thinking, why are we studying these things? I always ask these questions. where is God going with this? During this sermon series that Wes is on, why has God got him teaching this now? Because of what I'm fixing to read. He's preparing us. There's something coming that we're being prepared for, folks. It's time to take up. We're going to be an armor bearer. We got to know the spiritual armor, correct? We got to use it. So he's preparing, and during this time, he was also preparing me. So this is some of the things that the Lord pointed out to me. Joel 2:27-28. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. This morning we talked about a prophetess, Deborah. The only woman prophet mentioned in the Word. So we talked about that. We're moving into a time, and it's a call to action for each and every one of us. Because there's nobody here that's not covered. There's nobody here. I have dreams. I have had visions in those dreams. I've seen things come. I had a dream years before I even encountered Belinda. I saw her in a dream. God showed who my wife was going to be. Didn't show the face. Showed a situation. Well, actually, it was probably more of a vision. Of a woman with long brown hair and a tan overcoat squatting down in a door with the sunlight coming through a window, wiping the nose and the face of a little girl. About 6 years later, I'm sitting in the living room. It's before Belinda and I got married, just a few months ago. I'm sitting in the living room one Sunday afternoon after church. I look over there, and lo and behold, the face comes through. It was Belinda. So God does things. You don't know how long it's going to be. He showed me this church in February of 2009. You didn't break ground for another couple of months, right? I saw this church. That's where God told me. This was in March of 2009 when I had the dream. I just moved back to Florida with Lowe's, and was wanting to know. It was 9 years before we came here. It was 2018, the first Sunday in January. But God had a purpose. So that time is here. We're seeing a massive revival breakout. Young people, this is your time to join the battle. Us older folks, we're the leaders. We got to give them the wisdom, the example, to show them what they got to do. Can others see Jesus in you? Did you realize the only Bible the others will see sometimes is what they see in you, you and me? The pastor who ordained me in October of 91 as a deacon, he used to have this saying. He used to tell me all the time. Sometimes the only Bible others will ever see is the Bible they see in you and me. That's a big responsibility. Can they see Jesus in you? Will they see Jesus in you? You have a responsibility. Now let's get to why we're here. I want to focus in on the belt of truth, because that's all of it centers around that, the belt of truth. Well, I didn't have a tool belt. So I'm thinking I'm going to go just buy a tool belt. Belinda says, no, I think there's one at the school. I'm going to ask Miss Eunice. She asked Miss Eunice. I get a text. I think nothing more about it. I said, well, I know what. I'll change up what I'm going to do. But I've told nobody what I wanted the tool belt for except the belt of truth. And lo and behold, the other day, I get a text. Hillary brought in a tool belt. This is Brian's tool belt. This is how God works. I can put a Bible here. I got a Bible here. I got a Bible here. I'm armed. Now, I'm not going to have a helmet to go into battle. I have this hat I wear a lot. I'm an ex-soldier. I say I'm U.S. Army. I can put on my hat, right? I got on my tool belt. I'm armed with the Word of God right here. This is the best Swiss Army knife you'll ever find. In this Word right here, you got the helmet of salvation. You've got the belt of truth. You've got the shoes of the gospel of peace. And you've got the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Holy Spirit. Now, by putting all this in here, I demonstrate to you that you want that the armor the thickest, the shield the strongest, the helmet of salvation the strongest. You got to get this in, this truth in here. It's got to get in here, and it's got to come out. It's got to come out. Amen? So, you know, what I'm trying to do is just get it down real. And I got to move along quickly. I just tell you, in this room today, there are people that you got a decision. God's called you to something. You don't want to take it up. You're worried. Who am I? I'm nothing. Well, you know what? Or we're few. Our average attendance last month was 317. We studied Gideon today. He beat the Midianites with 300 people. We can beat anybody. We can beat anybody. Do we have to worry? No. Joshua 1:9 said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And all of us, we have a job. We have a job. You might ask, "Well, I don't have a job. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't know enough." But you know what? You don't have an excuse. And I'm going to use something that I love sports. Lee Corso, even though he's an ex-Seminole, he always would say, now, when you ask yourself this question, you're saying, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. No, 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 no. I don't have a job. Not so fast, young man. Jesus said, and remember, this is the last time he's going to speak. His mission is done here for now. He's ascending into heaven. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We don't have an option, folks. We got to do it. We got to do just what Ronnie said. All he did was just talk. He shared his story. Share Jesus in your skin. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't have to have lofty words and all that kind of stuff. Be you. Be you. And share God. Well, we have an assignment. We're armor bearers. If you're going to be an armor bearer, you got to do some specific things, right? One of the things I do, and Wes said this in the other, and it made me think about that. He said people will say, "I'm praying for you, brother." And he say, "I wonder what they're praying about, you know?" Be specific. If every one of us is praying for something, what God has laid on our heart to pray for those pastors and our church and each other, man, what things can come. So some things I pray for specifically. There's others, but these are some things that I'll share publicly. I pray for each of them, for the prayers, the things they're holding on to, that they're wanting to change or to happen in their lives, for their families. Their prayers to be answered. I pray for that. for their families to be protected. My cousin recently, not long ago, posted something, and I've added this into my prayer, and I add this for the congregation, and it's really specific. I ask for the strength of Samson, the patience of Job, the faith of Abraham, the courage of David, the wisdom of Solomon, and the love of Jesus. Folks, we need to be specific in our prayers. We need to be real. And it's time for us to choose. Who are you going to serve? What are you going to do for Jesus Christ? Are you going to let your family members go by the wayside? Are you going to let your friends go by the wayside? Ginger said this not long ago, and it happened to be almost verbatim the last words that my mother ever spoke before she passed. She spoke them to me, and I was in the room with Lauren. I'm not going to, but it was, you got to tell them. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. And you got to, you never give up on your children. You never give up on anybody. My mother gave me this Bible in 1982. She sent it to me and for Christmas. I was in Germany over there, and I got it, but I didn't do anything with it. This is Christmas in 1986. Dear Rick, I am glad you've taken such good care of this precious book, but I am so sorry you haven't used it. There is no evidence of use, no worn pages, no favorite passages. Mart, don't forget, this is your roadmap through this life for a successful trip to the next life. Remember, this is your sword and your shield. No better weapon will you ever have. Begin 1987 using this book every day of your life, and surely only good things and success will come your way. Love, Mama. I don't want any of you to be that young man, that 27-year-old boy. But I encourage you, every one of you, us, to be that mother or that father who don't give up. It don't matter how old they are. Don't matter what they do. They're your kid for the rest of their life. My mother's been gone since June of 2018. But she's still with me because what she fed into me, that's what we need to do. So what are you going to do with that? How are you going to show these men and these women your appreciation? How are you going to show your God your thankfulness that you have eternal life? How are you going to meet your Savior at that Bema Seat of Judgment to receive your awards? Who is going to say, line up as the song says, thank you because of what you've done? What are you going to do with what you're called to do today? It's your choice. And with that, Jason.
You know, it's funny when you get up to speak, whether it's me or Brother Wes or anybody else, you never know if you're going to say what you thought you were going to say, or if you were going to, you end up saying what the Lord leads you to say. And I was sitting there snickering because Brother Ronnie and Brother Rick, they both said, well, there ain't no way I can talk 15, 20 minutes. I would get up there and you might get 10 minutes out of me. I said, don't worry, I'll fill up the rest of the time. Well, I appreciate it, men. And I had you know, I thought the Lord and I had something planned out that was going to be pretty cool. I was going to be like Phil Donahue or maybe Ralph Emery, if y'all know any of those guys. Young people, they were like old school TV talk show hosts. And I had a series of questions that I was really going to ask our pastors to become very vulnerable in front of all of you. But I am going to just ask y'all, if y'all will come up, and I'm going to ask you one question for the benefit of the congregation and primarily for you and your families. And ultimately, what Brother Ronnie said, we need to live lives that are reflective of our relationship with Christ in a way that shows appreciation to our pastors. And Brother Rick, you know, basically saying the same thing. Let's put on the armor of God. Let's take the Bible and live it out to show appreciation for our pastors and their families. And then one thing Brother Rick said was, let's be specific in our prayers for them. So I'm going to ask each of you, and we're going to have prayer for you here in just a moment. But and I've prepared them. I would like for each of you to tell us briefly, what's one area in your life, whether it's your personal life, whether it's between you and your wife or you and your children, whether it's the church. I mean, I want us all to be able to have one area in your life where you most desire prayer so that we can specifically pray for you in that area. Y'all get out your pencils and your notepads, because this is not just we're going to let them tell us. This is something that I want to challenge us as armor bearers for our pastors. Let's write this down. Let's get specific in our prayers for them, and let's let them feel God's love and God's grace and God's mercy because of our appreciation for them and our prayers for them. So, Brother Keith, you want to answer that question first? We're going to, you know, we're going to skip question one. We're just going straight to question two. So, you know, just like to know one area in your life where you most desire prayer.
This is a hard question. There's a lot of areas in my life that I desire prayer. I mean, we've got family, just life. Being more sensitive to the Spirit of God, more sensitive to the Word, more understanding, gaining knowledge. Just being what He wants me to be. You know, I thought about this question a lot, but in all of that, I need your prayers, because I'm just a man. Just I'm like you, that God placed a calling on my life. I'm like Ronnie. I was so shy. When we had company, I'd go to the bedroom or run outside. Even when I was a teenager, I'm like they said, I can't stand up and talk in front of a congregation. But then the Lord called me, and I said, Lord, you're making a mistake. I'm just an old country boy, and I don't know anything. Well, he led me to where I am today. And I still get butterflies when I stand up to talk. I get nervous. I still have all those feelings. But one thing that I want more than anything is that I want my life to please Him. My mother, when she passed away, we were caring for her the last 2.5 years of her life, and every night I'd go by her room, and I'd hear her praying, Lord, when my life ends, I pray that you find me worthy. And that's my prayer, is to be worthy. That when that time comes, whether it's through the grave or through the rapture, and I'm praying it's a rapture, that that I'm worthy. To hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for letting us have a chance to prepare. But right now, as Chester said, what about Charlie? And right now in America, we're facing the reality of persecution. In the life of this church, we have been supporting missionaries around the world that are persecuted for their faith. And I keep hearing people say, bold. We need boldness. We need boldness. And we hear teenagers saying, we want to be bold. Well, and that's effective. But the boldness is not to win an argument. It's not boldness to villainize those that are lost and don't believe like us. The boldness is, we've seen it right now. Northern Nigeria is one of the toughest places in the world, and you are building a school in that area, supporting Christian people that are being slaughtered in one of the hardest places in the world. And you know what they have? They have compassion for the lost. Passion for their persecutors. So that's my prayer, is what we need the church to be right now, is compassionate, boldly compassionate for those that are lost and believe a lie and believe that if they killed us, they are doing a favor. That's what we see evident. It's a real difficult time in America. But what I want is the boldness. Teenagers, I don't need you to win an argument. I need you to be passionately loving those that don't believe like you with the heart of Jesus, that they too might come to Christ.
Okay, whenever he was introducing us today and y'all were clapping, just to keep me humble, Hop leaned over and said, I saw a lot of people out there that weren't clapping for you. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and at least tell you this. I know I'm in the last quarter. Let's talk about football. I'm in the fourth quarter of my life. I don't know if I'm at the start of the fourth quarter or at the two-minute warning. I'm not sure about that yet. But I heard two preachers from two different backgrounds, this was 10 years ago, they said most people in the Bible, and I haven't studied it out, but I did look at it a little bit, most people don't finish well in this race. Some of God's choice people, and he said people like Moses, you know, he led those people and put up with them in the wilderness, messed up at the last, God says, you're not getting in to go into Canaan. Aaron, his brother, same thing. He said, you go up there on Mount Hor with Aaron and take his son Eliezer, because you're going to take his priestly robe and stuff off, because he's not coming back down. I thought about Gideon. We talked about Gideon in Sunday school. He did a great thing, and God used him. Right after that, he went to pot, went into idolatry, compromised. Samson, great man of God that had the power of God on his life when the Holy Ghost would come upon him. No way a man like that should have played around and ended up blind and grinded out a meal in prison. There's a lot of people, Demas, associate of Paul, walked with Paul, saw the miracles, saw everything. Paul said, he left me for this present world. Here's what my prayer is. I want to run this thing to the finish. I want to be hungry for God to the finish. I want to pursue him. I've seen NASCAR and races where people run out of gas on the last lap. They didn't put no gas. They thought they could make it and ran out. I don't want to run out of gas. I don't know how long I've got, but I want to serve Jesus to the final thing. So if you want to pray for me, I don't want to be one of those that tried to coast in. I want to run through the tape, because Jesus is on the other end of that finish line.
I don't even know why I'm standing here listening to the three of you, and you're getting all emotional. You know, I don't know if it's a spirit coming over me, but I appreciate the honesty that the three of you have, and I appreciate your openness and willingness to do this. I'm going to ask now if the three of you will come down front. I'm going to ask first if the members of the pastor's council that are here, if you would please join the pastors down here. We're going to lay hands on the pastors. We're going to pray. As soon as they get down here, I'm going to ask everybody else. Oh, yeah, wives. Come on, sorry. Wives, families, not just three of them. If everybody else would please stand and come down front. Our service tonight, sometimes on Sunday nights, we have a testimony service and a prayer service for pastor appreciation. We're going to be doing the Fam Fest tonight, so we, you know, please come to that. Again, doesn't matter if you signed up or not, 5:30 tonight, come to eat. But we're going to take this opportunity right now, and I know we're well after time. But whether the Lord guides us to pray for 30 seconds to 30 minutes, we're going to pray for these men right here. We're going to pray for their families. We're going to understand what Brother Ronnie and Brother Rick helped us to understand today. That the way for us to honor these men is to live a life that honors God, because that's what they're helping us to do. And so I just ask now if everybody would just, if you can reach them, lay hands upon them. If not, stretch your arms forward and let's just spend some time in prayer for these pastors and their families. Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the men of God that you have placed over us in this church body. Father, we thank you for their willingness to speak your truth, God, and we just pray for them. Lord, we pray for them and their wives and their families. Lord, we pray for protection upon them. We pray for your hedge of protection to be around each one of them, Lord. We pray for you to continue to be with them in unity, Lord. Lord, and we know now their hearts, Lord. We pray for Brother Keith, Lord. We just lift him up to you. Pray that, Lord, he would continue to live a life that when it is his time, Lord, that you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray for Brother Eric, Lord. We pray for his request. We pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would have the courage and the strength to live a bold and faithful Christian life, Lord, but not one that puts down others, not one that wins the argument, Father, but one that wins souls to God, Lord, one that you would be proud of. Lord, and we pray for Brother West, Lord, as he mentioned, he doesn't want to be one to fall by the wayside as he enters the last stages, the last quarter of his life, Lord. Lord, may that quarter be longer than ever. May he be here to lead us and do your work for us, Father God. But we pray that he will finish the race strong. We pray that he will be as hungry as ever for you, for your truth, your love, your wisdom, Lord, until the time comes when he sees you face to face. Father, I pray for their families, Lord. I just know that so many pastoral families have difficulties in their life, Lord, and they're people just like us, Father. I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray for our pastors' wives. I pray that you would give them the strength, Lord, to continue to support their husbands. And I pray for their families, Lord, that they would feel your love through...